بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، أن كثير بن قيس رحمه الله قال: كنت جالسا مع أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه في مسجد دمشق، فجاء رجل فقال: يا أبا الدرداء، إني جئتك من مدينة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، ما جئت لحاجة. قال: فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من سلك طريقا يطلب فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا من طرق الجنة، وإن الملائكة لتدأ أجنحتها رضا لطالب العلم، وإن العالم يستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض، والحيتان في جوف الماء، وإن فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب، وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. رواه أحمد والترمذي وأبو داود وابن ماجه والدارمي، وسماه الترمذي وقيس بن كثير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. It has been reported in Musnad Ahmad and Jami al-Tirmidhi, similarly in Sunan Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Darumi, under the authority of Kathir ibn Qais rahimahullah, he says that I was sat in the masjid of Damascus with Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu when a man came and he said, Ya Abu Darda, inni ji'tuka min madinati rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I have come to you from the city of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma ji'tu li hajatin, I have not come for any other need. Qala fa inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul: من سلك طريقا يطلب فيه علما سلك الله به طريقا من طرق الجنة. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, indeed I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whosoever treads a path seeking knowledge, therein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates for him a path from the paths of Jannah. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَدَأُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِذًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. And verily, the angels, they spread out their wings for the seeker of knowledge as a sign of happiness. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالْحِيْتَانُ فِي جَوْفِ الْمَاءِ. And verily, an alim, all the creations that are in the heavens and are on the earth, and the fishes in the ocean, they ask forgiveness for him. وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And verily, the virtue of an alim over an abid, over a worshipper, is like the virtue of the 14th night moon over the other moons or over the other stars. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. And verily the ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. And the anbiya, they do not make heirs of a dinar nor dirham. وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمَ. But they make heirs of ilm. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَذٍ وَافِرٍ. So whosoever took this knowledge has taken a very large portion. In this hadith reported by Imam Ahmad, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ibn Majah, Imam Darumi, rahimahumullah, Kathir ibn Qais, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that once he was sat with Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the masjid of Damascus. And whilst he was sat there, a man came and he said to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, O Abu Darda, I have come to you from the city of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I have traveled all the way from Madinatul Munawwara to Damascus to Sham, and I have not come for any other reason. So the reason for his travel was to seek knowledge and to ask Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu something with regards to the knowledge of deen. And the purpose of this person coming and asking Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whereas it seems as though he was already acquainted. He was already acquainted and he already knew what he was informed of, or the knowledge that he was seeking, he already had some sort of information with regards to it. So the commentators of the hadith state that this person either came to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu because whatever he was already informed of, that may have been unclear, or it was not in detail. So he wanted more clarity, and he wanted Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu to elaborate further on the knowledge, the information that he was already possessing. So it wasn't that he came to seek knowledge and ask with regards to something that he did not know at all. He already had information regards to it, and the knowledge he was acquainted to. But he came to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu for more clarification. So that is one reason for his coming. And the other reason commentators of the hadith mention is that there is a possibility that the knowledge that he had, or the information that he had from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was via Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the person that had informed him, he narrated this incident or the hadith through Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And because Abu Darda was already alive at the time, this person intended that the chain of narration that I have, in between there is a person between myself and Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I should go direct to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so that in the chain of narration, rather than having an extra link and an extra person, I am able to hear the ilm, the knowledge, or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly from Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the purpose for going to Abu Darda, despite already having the knowledge, was to lessen the people in the chain of narration that were narrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So someone heard Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that person informed this person, and when he came to know of this, he decided that I should travel all the way to Damascus, so that between myself and Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is no other person. And I directly hear this hadith from Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu and acquire this knowledge without anyone in between. So this was the purpose behind him traveling all the way to Medina, all the way from Medina to Munawwara to Damascus to Syria. So only for the purpose of making his chain of narration high and directly listening to the hadith, he traveled to Damascus. And because the less number of people that you have in the chain of narration, that is regarded as a virtue in itself. So that is why in the past, the people, they would make a point that when they would come to know that there are few people that have narrated this hadith, and I may be able to hear this hadith directly from another person, that would lessen the number of people in the chain of narration, then they would go to that person. So for example, if between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the person who has heard the hadith, there is a sahabi, because the sahabi hears the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after the sahabi there is a tabi'i, and after the tabi'i there is a taba tabi'i, the successors to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and the taba tabi'i then narrates the hadith to someone. So when this person would come to know that the tabi'i that has narrated from the sahabi, he is still alive, and by me going to him, the person that had narrated from the tabi'i to me, this person would become less in the chain of narration. So he would go all the way to that person and listen to that same hadith which he had already heard, in order to lessen the number of people in the chain of narration. Because the less that you have in the chain of narration, the more virtuous it is. And that makes a chain more high in the terminology of the muhaddithin. So even in this day and age, there may be people alive, and there are people alive, for example, those that have taught me, my students, if they want to lessen the chain of narration between themselves and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are able to directly go to my teachers and get permission of the narration of the hadith and lessen the chain of narration by way of dropping me from the chain. So like this, a person's chain of narration and isnad becomes somewhat more higher, because the less number there are between himself and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greater and the more virtuous. And the ulama have given much importance to this. That is why the likes of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he would say that lawla al-isnad laqala ma sha'a man sha'a laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. That if there was not isnad, if there was no chain of narration, then whosoever would want to say something, he would say whatever he would want to say. So because of isnad, because of chain of narration, people are able to deduce and understand that whatever is being said, is it correct? Because you would scrutinize the person from which they are narrating. That the person that he is narrating from, is he genuine? Who has he narrated from? Who was his teachers? All the way down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this would be traced. And this is something unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah with. It's something very unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this ummah with. And some people who have studied the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not being believers, and orientalists who have studied and scrutinized the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have concluded that approximately more than 150,000, more than 150,000 name of narrators have been preserved. And you can trace them and find out where they studied from, who were their teachers, what did they study, in which area they were born, where did they pass away, from whom they had studied. So this is something very unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this ummah with, which you cannot find in any other nation, any other religion, any other ideology. So from the very first time that something was narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first recipients of that information were the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So all the way down from the companions to this day, we would be able to trace each and every person who has passed on the hadith and narrated this hadith all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this you will not find in any other religion. So we can say that the information, the knowledge of hadith
and deen that we have been blessed with, it is completely trackable and traceable to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that gives us superiority and the knowledge that we have, supremacy over people of other faiths. It is said that people of the Jewish faith also tried to locate narrators and tried to identify those people that have narrated information of their deen and knowledge of their deen. But this happened over so many hundred years after their prophet passed away, or the prophet through whom they would like to determine that this is the information that we receive from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So you will not find a complete link which is unbreakable. You will only find that in Islam. So this is why the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the tabi'in, the tabi'in, they gave a lot of importance to isnad. And even in this day and age, if we want to know whether the knowledge that we have is authentic or not, it is very simple. You need to find out that the person that is imparting the knowledge, informing you of something with regards to the deen, who were his teachers? And who did those teachers study under? And like that, you will be able to trace all the way down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what makes the knowledge of deen so unique and preserved until today and until the day of judgment. Because where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu al-hafidhun, that we have revealed the Quran and we are going to preserve it. So this does not just mean that Allah is only going to preserve the words of the Quran, because the words on their own have no significance. Because it is not just words that we need to know. We need to know what the words mean. Only then would we be able to practice the deen. And only then would the deen remain until the day of judgment. So where Allah has said that He is going to preserve the Quran, this means He is going to preserve the words. He is going to preserve the knowledge and the tafsir of these words right until the day of judgment. And obviously the tafsir that is derived from the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the statement of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the tabi'een. So this particular person, when he came to know of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to make the chain of narration high and remove one narrator in between, he decided to travel all the way to Damascus and meet Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So when he meets him, he says to him that I have traveled all the way from Madinat Munawwara and I have not come for any other reason. And I have only basically come for a hadith and for knowledge that has brought me here. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates to him a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now here the commentators, they say that the narration that Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu is narrating, that may be the very same hadith for which this person traveled all the way from Madinatul Munawwara to Damascus. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he knew or came to know that this person has only traveled for a hadith, he mentioned that hadith. And the hadith has been translated before you, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the virtue of the person who goes out in quest of knowledge. So either that was the hadith that this person came to listen to from Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or the hadith was something else. The hadith was not this hadith. It was some other hadith. But because this person traveled all the way from Madinatul Munawwara only for knowledge and only to listen to one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had no other motive behind his travel, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned the virtue of seeking knowledge in order to explain to him and emphasize that what you have done is very virtuous and it is worthy of a lot of reward. And then the narrator has not mentioned the hadith that Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu may have mentioned to this person. So that has not then been discussed. Or the hadith was this hadith that Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned to this person. So the hadith that Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, he says that I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whosoever treads a path seeking knowledge therein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate for him a path from the paths of Jannah. So here in the Arabic language, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, من سلك طريقا, and طريقا, he has kept it open to interpretation. He has not mentioned one who walks a particular path. He has left it general, that one who walks any path. So Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great commentators of Mishkatul Masabi, he mentions that by generalizing the word tariq and path, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that no matter what distance a person walks in order to seek knowledge, whether it is a yard, 500 yards, 1,000 yards, a few miles, 100 miles, that is sufficient for him to acquire this virtue. So there is no specific distance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is generalizing any distance that a person may travel in order to seek knowledge. He may just take one step, and through that he is able to seek knowledge, and that is sufficient for him to acquire this virtue. And similarly, Allama Tibi rahmatullahi alayhi, another commentator of Mishkatul Masabi, he says that if you look at the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned tariq, path, and he has mentioned ilm, and he has generalized both of them. He does not mention what particular path, and he does not mention what particular knowledge. He has kept both of them general. So this refers to this fact that a person who treads and walks any path, no matter what distance it is, and whilst treading this path, no matter what type of knowledge of deen he acquires, whether something very small, something insignificant, or something that holds a lot of meaning. So whether small knowledge, according to our understanding, inferior, or something that is superior, something that is of large quantity, in all circumstances, a person that treads a path, no matter what knowledge he tries to acquire, by treading that path, it is sufficient for him to acquire this virtue. So the deen, and acquiring knowledge of deen, and acquiring the virtue of acquiring this knowledge, that is not specific to a particular path, or particular type of knowledge. Any knowledge of deen, any path, any distance that a person treads and walks in order to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acquire knowledge of this deen, that is sufficient for him to acquire this virtue. And what is the virtue? سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ تَرِيكًا مِّن تُرُكِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate, make easy for him, a path from the paths of Jannah. So Allah has, by him treading any path, walking any distance, acquiring any type of knowledge of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate and make easy for him a path from the many paths of Jannah. So Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he mentions that from this we understand that there are many paths that would take a person to Jannah. There are many paths that would lead a person to Jannah. And each and every good deed that we do, that is a path to Jannah. Because every good deed that we carry out, that good deed would land us in Jannah. And from those different paths of Jannah, the one most virtuous and the nearest to Jannah is the path of knowledge. Because through knowledge, a person is able to implement and fulfill many good deeds in his life. Because through knowledge that he would gain, that would make it easy for him to act upon so many different things. And all those different knowledge that he would have, when he would act upon them, they would be the most easiest way of him to acquire entry into Jannah. So it is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the virtue of knowledge, because this would be the door leading to amal, and amal would take him into Jannah. So that is the most easiest and most convenient method of acquiring Jannah and leading to Jannah. And here, salaka in the Arabic language, it has also been termed that Allah will facilitate, and it can also be translated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this person walk. So commentators have given both interpretation, that سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ تَرِيكًا can also be translated that Allah will facilitate, make easy for him a path from the many paths of Jannah, or it can be translated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this person walk a path from the paths of Jannah. So this is the first virtue mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that verily the angels, they spread out their wings. So لَتَدَأُ أَجْنِهَتَهَا. Again, the commentators of the hadith, they give different interpretations as to what لَتَدَأُ أَجْنِهَتَهَا would mean. تَدَأُ أَجْنِهَتَهَا in the Arabic language, in the literal term, would mean to put one's wings on the side and drop them onto the side. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning that the angels would drop their wings and put them on the side. What does this actually mean? So some commentators, they say that we can take the literal meaning, and in actual fact, the angels, because they have wings, they have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from light, and they have wings. So when they come across a seeker of knowledge and a person in quest of knowledge, they put their wings onto the side. So literally, the wings that Allah has given them, they place them on the side. So they do this by way of respect for this person who is out in search of knowledge. So the person in seeking knowledge is so lofty and his status is so high in the eyes of the angels that when they are flying past and when they are going from one place to another, when they come across a person seeking knowledge, then they would stop flying and they would place their wings on the side out of respect for this person who has gone out in search of knowledge. That is the respect that they would show him. And another interpretation that the commentators of the hadith give with regards to the angels putting their wings on the side is that they spread their wings out out of respect, that they respect this seeker of knowledge and this talibi ilm so much that they do not want him to walk on the soil and on the earth. They would rather have him treading their wings and placing his feet on their wings. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions an incident reported by Ahmad bin Shu'ayb rahimahullah, that he says that in Basra we were out once seeking knowledge and we went to a muhaddith, and the muhaddith, he narrated this hadith to us. And when he narrated this hadith, there was a person in that gathering who did not have correct aqidah and beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So when he heard of this hadith, he began mocking this hadith. So the commentator, he explained that this hadith means that the angels, they spread their wings out of respect, and they would want that the seeker of knowledge put his feet on their wings rather than on the soil and on the ground. So this person mocked this hadith by saying that tomorrow when we go out in search of knowledge, what I would do, I would trample on the wings of the angels. So he, as soon as he said this, the people that were around him, they say that immediately he fell down. And we notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed his legs because of him saying this. So this was the literal term that the commentators have stated, that this could happen in actual fact. So when this person said this, this was a consequence of him mocking this hadith. Similarly, Imam Tabarani rahimahullah has also mentioned a similar incident reported by Yahya bin Saji rahmatullahi alayhi, that they were out in search of knowledge and such a person mentioned the same thing. And we notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also took away his strength of walking and destroyed his legs. So this is what commentators have explained, that this could be interpreted as literal, and in actual fact the angels do this out of respect and honor for the seeker of knowledge, or they actually put their wings onto the side and stop traveling wherever they are and stop flying. And another interpretation that the commentators of the hadith give is that this is not in its literal term. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking metaphorically. So what is he explaining metaphorically? He's explaining that just as in the Arabic language, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to being obedient to one's parents. Allah says, وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, that you should lower your wings of mercy for your parents. So this does not mean that a human being has wings. This is a term metaphorically used in the Arabic language to denote humbleness, that one should behave with their parents with humbleness. So in the same way, the Prophet ﷺ is speaking metaphorically that the angels, when they come across a seeker of knowledge, they also exercise tawadu and humbleness. So they respect that person so much that they would become completely humble for the seeker of knowledge. And another interpretation given by the commentators of the hadith is again that this is a metaphorical term used, and it is used in order to explain that the angels assist and help a person who goes out in seek of knowledge, who goes out seeking knowledge. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ is informing, that when a person goes out to seek knowledge, then the angels, they spread out or put their wings on the side, meaning that they assist and help this person in order to make acquiring knowledge easy for him. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person who goes out in search of knowledge out of happiness and joy. This is what the angels do. And thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned a few other virtues related to this, inshallah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits, then inshallah in one of the following weeks we shall go through this hadith and conclude it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in this hadith. And first and foremost, we understand how significant it is to acquire knowledge and the virtue that acquiring knowledge holds in the eyes of our Sharia. So whenever we come to a gathering, then obviously we come with many reasons and many intentions, but we should also come with this intention that we are going to seek knowledge, so that we are also able to acquire this virtue. When the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned this virtue with regards to any type of knowledge, and knowledge, when we discuss that from the Quran and Hadith, then that only refers to the knowledge of Deen. So whenever we mention knowledge, that does not mean any other type of knowledge or worldly knowledge. It only refers to the knowledge of the Quran and Hadith. And because the knowledge of the Quran and Hadith is the knowledge that will enable us to acquire the success of the hereafter, that is why so much virtue has been mentioned with regards to that knowledge. Whereas other knowledge related to worldly matters, worldly affairs, that is only limited to this world. It does not give one guaranteed success in the hereafter. Obviously, whatever he acquires that knowledge for, and then if he has correct intentions and utilizes that knowledge for the hereafter, that is a different matter. But that knowledge in itself, that is not sufficient for one's success in the hereafter. The knowledge of the Quran and Hadith, that is the only knowledge that guarantees success of the hereafter, and that is the purpose for which we have been sent into this world. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned such virtue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to understand the importance of this and acquire knowledge for this pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter give us the tawfiq and ability to also practice whatever knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَصَحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. Brothers are reminded that inshallah dhikr majlis will take place now, and I would also like to request for dua that our honorable Sheikh Hafizahullah, his auntie in India has passed away, so we should all make dua maghfirah and isali thawab. Whatever little we can pray, we should pray and pass that reward on to all those that have passed away, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he elevates the status and gives them reward. And at the same time, if you were to do that, inshallah, when our last moments will come and when we will depart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make such opportunities for us where people will remember us and make dua for us. So we should always make this a habit that whenever we come across such information of someone passing away, we should pray and send isali thawab. Jazakumullah khair.